Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello and welcome to 1865, the Nottingham Forest podcast. And we are reporting on Forest's away defeat away at Tottenham Hotspur. The home team won 3-1, although it was a match that seemed to hinge on certain moments. So in the first half, Murillo scored an own goal, but just a few minutes after he could have scored from inside his own half, not for the first time this season. Chris Wood scored an equaliser, but then could have put the Reds, and probably should have put the Reds, in the lead. And then just before half-time, there's an incident where James Maddison could have got sent off. In the second half, in fairness to Tottenham, they took control and scored two absolute belters, one from Mickey van der Ven and another from Pedro Porro. So before we go into the team news and everything else, I'm Rich Ferrara, and I just want to say hello to George Edwards. Now, George, you were at the game. Would you agree with my assessment that it seemed to hinge on moments?
Yeah, I think you summed it up quite nicely there. I mean, not every defeat is doom and gloom. I don't think we can come away being overtly negative. 3-1 was a good reflection of the game. And not Forest fans would have taken it before the game, but I think that's possibly what we were expecting. I think most of us thought, given recent performances, Forest will be able to get forward and that they'd have moments. And they did that. They had a 20-minute spell after they'd scored towards the end of the first half, where if they take another, you know, a few more of their chances that they had, it's a completely different game. But as it was, you have to take them chances in those moments. Forest didn't. And then Tottenham, you know, the good side that they are, they were made to pay for it. It looks like a bad result given the results at the weekend that went against Forest, you know, Luton and Everton winning. But in isolation, losing 3-1 away at Tottenham, it could have gone a lot worse. So there's no real big complaints to me. And it was a game that, like you say, hinged on huge moments that pretty much all of them just went against Forest. And that's what happens when you're in 17th or 16th place and Tottenham are in fourth.
Well, quite. And there have been a couple of bits of news that broke, well, during and after the match. So one is obviously the news about Joe Kinnear passing away, ex-Forest manager and ex-Tottenham defender. And then the other bit of news is that I've not even had a chance to really look into it yet, but Everton have received a further 2-point deduction, which obviously from a Forest perspective isn't the news that the club were hoping for. It does put into question about appeals processes and everything. Now, we're not going to talk too much about that today. We'll reflect upon that in a bit more detail in Friday's show, our Friday Five, which is the top news stories affecting Forest. For now, let's go on to the team news. And Forest were unchanged from the victory over Fulham, which is perhaps unsurprising. So we had Sells in goal, Williams at right back and Aina at left back, with Omobamadeli partnering Murillo in the centre back positions. Yates and Danilo were playing as the defensive midfielders, with Alanga, Gibbs-White and Hudson-Odoi behind Chris Wood. And George, coming to you again, I think it wasn't a big surprise to me to discover that there was an unchanged lineup. The question mark is sometimes about whether there's going to be fatigue or whatever, but the balance of the team worked quite well. And in particular, in central midfield, you know, in the Palace match, We came away thinking, well, Yates and Sangare can't really play in the same midfield, but there's a bit more balance with Yates and Danilo. And there were times in the first half that Forest were in danger of getting a little bit overrun because Tottenham are good. But again, you couldn't question the lineup too much, could you?
No, I think the team selection was bang on. I think because of the age of the squad, Forest don't have to rotate unless they feel the need to. You know, if they want to stick with the same side, if Felipe's not in it, then they can do. And the pace that Omobamadeli and Murillo bring as a centre-back partnership, I think, is something that was always going to be fielded, if possible, against Tottenham. I mean, the pair of them, I think they've kept a clean sheet against Bristol, but not in the Premier League. But we're not some consistency. And that back four looks pretty solid. And, you know, losing 3-1, yes, but those guys are looking more comfortable with each other as every game that they play together. And it's only been, what, two or three. But you could tell that as the game went on. Midfield, like you say, Sangare and Yates doesn't work. They're too similar. And, I mean, the pair of them had such a blinding game in midweek that it would be very harsh to drop them. I thought he might bring Dominguez in because I think away from home, maybe he's a bit of a safer option because Danilo often can give the ball away a little bit too much and things. But actually, he did quite well, Danilo. I thought he was one of our best players in midfield. And yeah, so I thought most of us would think of it as an unchanged lineup. And Nuno doesn't do that very often. I can't remember a time specifically, apart from in the cup games, that he's named a completely unchanged side. I might be wrong. So it was nice to see him, you know, have faith in himself more than anything, that he chose the right lineup and he was going to stick with it. And actually, we lost the game 3-1, but this is the lineup I'd field next week. And going forward, I think it's a really strong lineup. And, you know, how the game started, I mean, Forest were almost just waiting for Tottenham to score, in fairness. It was quite an underwhelming start. I mean, you can't go out away from home and, you know, set the place on fire straight away. But I was a bit disappointed by how Forest started the game, because you look at how they played after they scored. If they played like that for the whole half, it could have been a different story.
Absolutely. So let's talk about that opening. I mean, the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium is big. It was full. It was noisy. I've not been there for a match, but I've been to the stadium actually for a gig once. And ooh. I mean, it's a very impressive location. And I think Forest maybe felt a little bit overawed by the occasion and by the location.
Yeah, you could be right. And I mean, someone behind me in the middle of the game, you know, in the moment, I think it was around the Yates challenge, said, "Oh, I can't wait to get back to the Championship." I mean, I do not share that opinion at all. You know, you get to go out to these amazing stadiums. You know, even when I got a pint, it was one of those refillable ones from the bottom. And, you know, it's just a fabulous place to be. And they've designed it really well, because the noise, you know, when Tottenham score, it's very, very loud. And it's just a shame, I suppose, that their fans weren't amazing throughout the game. Even when they were 3-1 up, they weren't that quiet. And actually, a couple of Tottenham fans have messaged me to say, you know, your fans were up there with the best that have came there, which shows that even, you know, amongst 60K, we still stood out. But yeah, no, I think that's probably about right. And a big thing that I think both teams targeted was each other's number 10s. And Forest tried to mark James Maddison out of the game. They did that reasonably well. But then Tottenham still have quality players. I mean, Bissouma and Saar got hooked at half-time. But I thought those two still played well. And defensively, I think, was the main reason they got took off. But on the ball, they still provided Tottenham with that attacking impetus that Maddison would do. And you saw that with the goal that they scored. I think Bissouma was involved in that. Whereas Gibbs-White wasn't in the game because Tottenham were man-marking him. And we don't have the type of players, you know, Yates and Danilo. Danilo is a sort of forward-thinking player, but he's not a guy that's going to single-handedly carry an attack. So that's what transpired in the early stages. Forest, I think, were daunted by the occasion and daunted by going to a big Premier League side. And hopefully, if they continue doing that, then they're not going to have that issue again. And I suppose it was at the start of the season, wasn't it, where we played some of the big games away from home and we sort of almost got used to it. You know, by the time we played Chelsea, we'd been to Arsenal, we'd been to Old Trafford and we were used to those big occasions. But because they were so early on, maybe we've forgotten what it's like to go somewhere like that. And that did show early on, I think.
And Tottenham, of course, a team in form. And as you mentioned, Forest were pegged back in the early stages with 10 men behind the ball. No real opportunity for Gibbs-White to get on the ball. I was only watching on the telly, but I was screaming about how we really needed to try and take advantage of Tottenham's high line by getting Alanga and Hudson-Odoi moving forward a bit more. But to be able to do that, you need to get a player like Gibbs-White on the ball so he can play it through. And that didn't really happen. However, Forest did almost make the breakthrough. I'm guessing you were pretty much right behind Murillo's shot from inside his own half. On telly, I thought it was in until it was actually went past the goal. And I was getting ready to jump off my sofa and leap in the air. Did you think it was going in?
Now, how the away end is situated is, as you probably know, it's round the corner. So some fans are behind the goal, some fans are at the side. So I was at the side, and you could see basically from when he shot it that it wasn't going in. But he got so unlucky because there was a wind coming from where the tunnel is across the pitch to the away fans. And it was just completely against the wind, because if it was a flat day, there was no wind, that would have gone in. It was such an incredible shot. And that's why I think him and Obama Deli are there, because they've got the confidence when they win the ball, if there's space, they drive into it and they make something happen. And he did it against Luton, didn't he? And that nearly went in. And Vicario, as teams do, like Tottenham, he likes to have a high starting position. So that was always going to be on. And I think it was always in his mind. He collected it and we're all thinking, right, what's he going to do here? Because there wasn't that many options. And that was possibly the only thing he could have done. Now, not many players would have the confidence in themselves to take that on. And he did so well. And yeah, he actually got it perfectly. The curl was bang on, but you could just see the wind pushing against it and it was just flat. But he did put curl on it. And on another day, that goes in and Forrest are 1-0 up. But then as it happened, obviously it went wide and Tottenham and Murillo pretty much scored straight away from the goal kick.
Yeah, less than 5 minutes afterwards. And I mean, Timo Werner is a bit of an enigma, isn't he? He's a real confidence player. And at the moment, he's playing with confidence. And I have to say that when he got down the left-hand side, I don't think you can attach too much blame to Forrest other than the fact that they were sitting deep. Certainly couldn't blame any individual players for it. It was a situation where the ball went down to Werner. He went down the left-hand side, put in an absolute peach of a ball into the corridor of uncertainty. And it's called the corridor of uncertainty for the very simple reason that as a defender, you have no idea. And as a goalkeeper, it's very difficult to defend. Murillo stuck out a leg. It span off his leg and then went in. That's just down to quality play from Spurs, I think.
Yeah, it was interesting to watch Forest defend in the opening 15 minutes, because if you look at that goal, we are sort of trying to keep as much of a high line as possible. And there were times where Tottenham played it slow, so we sort of slowly sat back. But when they attacked like that, I mean, everyone, me included, thought Werner was offside because he was ahead of the three in defence, Williams as well. And it was Aina who plays him offside at the back post, which is a bit unfortunate because Forest had worked that perfectly. And if Aina was a yard further forward, that wouldn't have happened. But from there, Nico's defensive sort of ability was shown by Werner a little bit. I mean, he's not a conventional winner, but like you say, he's a confidence player. And I think he's really enjoyed his time at Tottenham since he's came in on loan. And Williams has played so well, you know, I'm not saying that he should be dropped or anything, but maybe he's not came against the calibre of player like Timo Werner. And that did show. I think he improved throughout the game defensively, but early on, he did get past him a few times. There was a chance later on that he did as well. But once the ball goes in, there's not that much Murillo can do. I mean, yes, if you look at the replay, there's Aina's behind him. But behind him are two other Tottenham players who could have quite easily tapped it in. Aina quite could have easily done the same. So I've got no real complaints with what Murillo's done. It's just because of how impressive he's been recently. You expect him to somehow flick it in the air and get a bicycle kick over his head and get it away. He can't do everything and he can't carry this Forest defence. So yeah, he was unfortunate not to score and then even more unfortunate to tap it into his own net. But how the early stages were going, apart from that Murillo chance, it was always going to be like that. And Tottenham did merit the lead at that stage.
Yeah, and it's absolutely no surprise to see Spurs go in the lead. And as you mentioned, I mean, Werner is sort of a carbon copy, really, and almost ends up being a carbon copy of the goal that Brennan Johnson scored on Tuesday night, even down to the style of finish. So Werner got down to that byline again, put the ball, brilliant ball in. Johnson came running in from the right-hand side, opened up his body to flick it in, and Matt Sells made a really fine save just by staying big and not committing himself too early. And then Murillo completed the clearance. I thought that was going to be 2-0, and I was very pleased that Sells read it so well.
Yeah, and the thing that annoyed me the most about it was the reaction to the goal, because, you know, I've complained about how Forest played, but actually they weren't awful until they conceded the goal. And they were trying to sort of keep that high line that we saw with the goal that Tottenham scored. But from that, they just sat back and unveiled Tottenham onto them. And that was the only real chance they had. But it was just looking like an ugly day and looking like it would be one of those situations where, similar to what happened last year in the first and second half, that Forest conceded one and then conceded another and just lost the game, lost the heads. And the style of play went out of their mind. I mean, the good thing about Matt Sells is, and we'll talk about him later because he made a better save than that, is that we'll keep talking about him, but for positive reasons. And he just makes saves that are conventional and that are Premier League. But that's not something we were seeing at the start of the season. So, you know, it's nice to have someone we can rely on. But yeah, it wasn't good enough, that reaction to the goal. And Forest just needed to try and get themselves up the pitch, and they couldn't do it, particularly for the 10 minutes after they conceded. It was looking like getting ugly.
Yeah, but also after that Johnson chance, Forest did start to wake up. And that was, and actually I was saying to my wife and as we were watching, and we were both saying, it's like, there's something about, maybe because it's because Tottenham didn't capitalise and get that second goal, or maybe it's because Forest are getting better, maybe it's a bit of both. But I was just thinking to myself, I can see Forest getting back into this. And about 2 minutes after I thought that, didn't say it out loud, didn't want to jinx it, but about 2 minutes after I thought that, well, sure enough, we equalised. And it was a really nice goal, wasn't it? Talk us through it.
Yeah, it was a really lovely goal. And actually, I saw Tom for the game. He was on my road. So I went and we had a chat, and we said that we've got to target Tottenham's high line. We're not going to have all of the ball, but particularly with Elanga, we've got to target that. And all four of their defenders are rapid, but Elanga was the only sort of player that was having a bit of joy with down that right-hand side. And yeah, he made it pay. Does a nice little 1-2 into Williams. Williams returns the ball to him, and Elanga darts down the right-hand side. And then we're all wondering about the final ball from Elanga, because it's hit or miss. You know, he could have quite easily ballooned it out of play, but he gets it right. Yes, it deflects off the sliding defender. I think it's Romero. It goes off his sort of groin, and it would have been a fired ball into Chris Wood's feet. As it was, it took the pace off it, and it allows Wood just to take a touch, compose himself and slot it in. You know, as we've got used to him doing, a fantastic goal from Chris Wood. 4-4 now. It's something about 9-10 as well. It's just the customary Chris Wood goal from that. And then that goal really woke Forest up, because they continued to play that way and were more direct with their attacks. So I don't think they merited the goal at that point, but by the half time, they'd certainly had merited being at 1-1. And yeah, fantastic taken goal from Chris Wood under the defender, through the defender's legs, into the bottom corner. Vicario had no chance with that. And at 1-1, you're thinking, right, Forest, what can we do now? And it was a stark improvement after that goal.
Yeah, and it swept home really, really nicely, which made the moments that came just a few minutes later really, really frustrating. So ball came down the left-hand side. Aina managed to break through past the Tottenham back line, played the ball across, where Hudson-Odoi obviously got a shout from Yates. Yates took exactly the right option. Rather than trying to blast it, he tried to sweep it into the far corner. It was a decent save by Vicario down to his left, but Wood was in the right place, right time, wrong finish. And you may not have, it was at the far end from you, George, so you may not have seen. I mean, all he had to do was just lift it gently, and what he tried to do was blast it. And I think he got a little bit spooked by the fact that Vicario was getting up so quickly. So he blasted it, and therefore he lacked the accuracy, smashed against the post, and then bounced out again. And it's like he scored the difficult one and then missed the easy one.
The one player at the minute you'd choose to have that chance at his feet would be Chris Wood. And you're just thinking it's a goal. Yeah, we couldn't really see what was going on. It was all for melee. But Yates had a shot, came out, and then I thought he hit the bar and just flew away from goal. Then Gibbs White volleys it wide from distance. But yeah, I mean, it's such a huge chance from Chris Wood. And you'd back him every day to score that. When that ball came in from the right from Elanga, I was actually celebrating before Chris Wood hit it, because it was at Chris Wood's feet. And I thought, yeah, he stuck that away, the form that he's in. And then you'd back him so hard to take that second chance. I mean, people are complaining about Yates, the finish, by the way. I don't think Yates could have done anything more with that. I mean, the other side, there's three defenders sliding in. And then, unless he sticks it top right, Vicario, you know, made a good save. Chris Wood, the striker that he is anticipating where it's going to be and is in the right area. And he must lose his head or something. I don't know why he leathers it. There's no need, like you say, it could even, the way Vicario sort of sprawled, could have just dinked it like sort of along the floor softly into the net. And anything's better than, I mean, it's a good job we didn't blast it into the south stand and it hit the post. But yeah, you'd back Chris Wood to do it. But the goal that Forest scored, it almost gave them confidence and reassurance that they were, you know, a Premier League side and they could take that on. Because until that point, it was almost like watching like a League One side go there in the cup and try and stay in the game, try and get it to just 1-0 at half time. But after they scored, they almost had the confidence as to, yeah, we can take these on. We're not their equal, but we're a valid opposition. And, you know, I'm not surprised they had chances like this.
And yeah, I think it's fair to say that Forest were, if Tottenham were the best team for the first half of that first half, Forest were in the ascendancy for the rest of that period. And one of the things that's characterising this half of football was the duel between Ryan Yates and James Maddison. And let's just sort of give a little timeline of what happened. So Yates, as you'd expect, he was having a good old ding-dong with the Tottenham number 10. His job was clearly to man-mark in a similar way to him man-marking Eberry Eze against Palace. And he started off doing quite well, niggly fouls and so on and so forth. And then he was rightly booked. But interestingly, on the occasion before, Maddison had said to the ref, and this isn't going to mean much to you at home, listener, but I'm gesturing towards the camera and just kind of saying, he was saying to the ref, look, that's 2-3 times, and doing that, which I thought apparently it's only if you wave an imaginary card that you get booked for asking for a player to be booked. So apparently that was fine. And then the next time, Yates did another foul and was booked for repeated fouls. Now, I have to say that did put Yates in a bad position. It was quite early on. Yeah. I think it was only about 15 minutes. And Maddison kind of had the upper hand from that point because Yates was a bit stymied. However, just before half-time, Yates was down. We saw Yates was down on the edge of the area. Tottenham had the ball. They kept playing on. Eventually the ball, you know, it petered out. And then Yates was on the ground, holding his stomach. He's on the ground and you could see him making the TV gesture to say, have a look at VAR. Now, that is also a bookable offence. And so it's like, well, that's really, really badly advised of you to do that, Yates, especially as the captain. You can't go around doing that. But then when we saw a replay, we saw that Yates and Maddison were tussling on the edge of the box. And Maddison, he loses his rag, basically. He turns around and he just gives a little punch in the stomach to Yates. And it's enough. It's right in the breadbasket. It's enough to kind of make Yates kind of feel it. And he went down, as you'd expect every player to do. But I actually also think there's probably just enough there that being caught by surprise, it would make you go down. Maybe not stay down for as long as he did. So the ref came over and he spoke to Yates, and Yates was really annoyed. And he spoke to Maddison, and then VAR was looking at it. And what you wouldn't have known, George, in the ground, VAR was looking at it. Took about 30 seconds, just said, yeah, whatever. And then the ref's solution to that was to call both players over and to have a word. So actually, both players should have gone. Yates should have gone for calling for VAR, and Maddison should have gone for punching the player in the stomach. And what I'm going to do is, I'm just going to come back to something that our Tom said. So he was in the ground as well, as you mentioned, and he didn't think it was that bad. But then this morning, he sent us this voice note.
So I've actually seen it again this morning. And I'm going to retract my comment saying it wasn't a sending off. I think it was a sending off. The reason being it was a sending off now, because I've only seen like one of it and it was a grainy close-up. But he's actually clenched his fist. And clenched his fist, he hasn't like pushed him off. It's an act of violence. And the force is measurable kind of thing. But looking back on it, it's a sending off because he's clenched his fist and he knew what he was doing. That is an act of violence, so that should have been a red card.
And it's difficult to argue with that. So just because it's a crap punch doesn't mean it's not a punch. The intent was there from the fact that Maddison created a fist and punched Yates in the stomach. The fact it's not enough to hurt you doesn't make any difference. What on earth are VAR thinking, George?
I know, it's ridiculous. I mean, I wouldn't have been surprised, actually, if they'd have said no red card and then sent Yates off. That'd have been the most typical Forest thing to happen.
Yeah.
I'm surprised it didn't. I mean, you must absolutely hate playing against Ryan Yates because he is in your ear, he is biting. And a reaction like that, you know, it's not ridiculous for a player up against Ryan Yates. But like you say, in the ground, we all didn't really know what was happening. But when you see that, what are they doing? I mean, that's clearly in the rules. That, like Tom said, he clenched his fist. He clearly spun round and went for Ryan Yates, who goes down a bit theatrically. But yeah, he's gone down, he's punched Ryan Yates, and there's not really much to add to it because they're the facts. It's black and white. And how VAR have missed that and looked at that and thought, okay, well, I'm trying to think what they've done. They looked at it and thought, okay, well, yeah, the punch isn't great. It doesn't really, you know, just because Madison's not going to be stepping in the ring and knocking people out doesn't mean that he shouldn't have been carded for it, because you can't do that, especially in the modern day with all them TV cameras watching. You should not be able to do that and get away with it. And if that was Christian Romero, or if that was, I don't know, Casemiro or a player like that, that have been sent off. But because it's James Maddison, because everybody likes him, he seems like a nice guy on social media. Everyone's seen him, you know, doing the darts thing recently, and everyone's into darts. Then, oh yeah, James Maddison's not that type of guy. And that, consciously or not, I bet that's in the VAR's mind, probably subconsciously. But if that's Christian Romero doing that to Ryan Yates, he's probably sent off before VAR has to get involved. It's just ridiculous how different players in different situations have different outcomes. And we just want some consistency, because that could have been a red card 75% of the time.
And that's exactly what Ryan Yates said after the match. He said, James Maddison is a good player. It's my job to disrupt the momentum. And rather diplomatically, he said, a few decisions probably didn't go our way. He was being questioned specifically on that incident. A few decisions probably didn't go our way, but we've seen the inconsistency in the Premier League this season. We are not here to call out refs, but we've spent a lot of time doing it this season. What do you say, George?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. I mean, we've had a couple of weeks off moaning about referees, a couple of weeks without talking about them. I think even in the last podcast, I gave praise to the referee, because I think that's right. And if we're going to have it one way, we've got to acknowledge the other side. But no, it's getting ridiculous now. And are we going to get another apology? I don't know. I think Mark Clatterburg came out and said something as well. But yeah, it's getting ridiculous. But just on Ryan Yates, I want to touch on him, because I am probably one of his biggest fans. I love him. I think he should be starting most weeks. He didn't have the best start to the game. You know, he couldn't control it. He was fouling every player that got near him. Then he was booked. Then he was on tender hooks, right? If a midfielder particularly has that start, they could quite easily have gone missing. Many, many players would have just gone missing. But what I like about him is he doesn't. He kept going to James Maddison. He was always an option for the ball. And, you know, I looked at the stats after the game, and only Murillo, Omobamadeli and Elanga had more passes of the ball than him. So they had more. Yes, Gibbs White went off on 67 or something, but he had more passes than Gibbs White, more passes than Danilo next to him, more passes than both fullbacks. And that just shows that, you know, things might be going against him, but he will always give everything for that shirt, and he will always, you know, be available and be an option. And I think that's why he starts every week, and why every single manager continues to pick him, along with the fact that he's got the capability to wind someone like James Maddison up. And if he'd have been sent off, then Forest have, what, 45 plus 5 minutes in the second half minutes against 10 men. And Tottenham want to change, you know, we know Ange Postecoglou, he want to change their style of play, but that would have been a riveting contest.
The 1865 Match Report.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
We're pleased to announce that this episode of 1865, the Nottingham Forest podcast, is sponsored by Greene King Sport, where football is more than a game. Greene King Sport venues are showing every single televised Forest fixture over the 23-24 season. And with more than 900 sports pubs across the UK, it doesn't matter where you're based, you can catch every single minute of the action. If you download the Greene King Sport app, you won't just get 10% off all drinks anytime there's a match on the TV, but this month there's also free Guinness to be won and the chance to win one of six holidays. And you'll be supporting us here at 1865, the Nottingham Forest podcast. Now it's back to your podcast.
You're listening to 1865, the Nottingham Forest podcast.
Welcome back to the 1865 Match Report. We're reporting the day after Nottingham Forest lost 3-1 away at Tottenham Hotspur. Now, we spent quite a long time talking about the first half, George, because there's quite a lot to talk about. Second half, I think we can sum up in basic terms, which is that Forest were the second best team. Tottenham scored two goals in quick succession. They were both belters, but they both showed up Forest's defensive weaknesses in terms of the fact that Tottenham were able to queue up to have the shots. They were able to find those spaces. And really, the second half was a bit of a non-event for the Reds, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. I mean, once those two goals, and they went in 5 or 6 minutes after each other, and there was a sort of acceptance from everybody, really, from Forest, from Nuno, from Tottenham, that, you know, Spurs, you're the better team, fair play. 3-1 is how it's going to be. We saw that by his substitutions. You know, he took Chris Wood and Morgan Gibbs-White off. And ordinarily, I probably wouldn't have been a big fan of that. But I think most people thought, you know, the game's gone now. What's the point in us trying? But, you know, if we try, if we get another goal, Tottenham will just step it up again and they'll score. And we'll get on to defending for the goals, because, once again, it's not good enough. But 3-1 was a justified selection. And taking Gibbs-White and Wood off, I mean, those two are going to, if Forest are going to stay up, then it's going to be from Morgan Gibbs-White and Chris Wood's consistent and incredible performances. And wrapping them in cotton wool with half an hour to play was something I didn't really mind. So, yeah, Nuno summed it up with his substitutions. He should have took Danilo and Yates off a bit earlier, because they were red cards waiting to happen, particularly Ryan Yates. So, yeah, second half was a non-event, really. We'll talk about the goals, and there isn't that really much to talk about other than that.
Well, talk about them then. Talk about them.
Okay. Okay, so the Van de Ven goal was first, wasn't it? Right. Yep. So Forest, I think, was scared of conceding goals from a corner, from a conventional corner into the box. And from what I remember, they only did it once towards the end of the first half. And Tottenham kept playing it short. I don't know how many. They must have had 7 or 8 corners, only one they put in the box. We were just scared of the one that was going to go in. And every time they had too much space to play it short and play it around us. And it was always, what happened with Van de Ven was always going to happen, right? Because we just, even once it was wide, we were just scared of the, we were ready to defend away from the cross. We weren't stopping the next pass and the next pass and the next pass. And it was far too easy. They just played it from right to left so well. And when you give quality players like Son and Van de Ven time, they're going to punish you. Son did well not unleashing it and giving it to Van de Ven. And my word, what a strike. I mean, I was in that away end. I didn't see it. I saw Van de Ven take control. Next second, the stadium's, you know, celebrated. Matt Sells had no chance with that. Absolutely no chance. You've got to give credit to him. And actually him and Romero showed why they can be defensive in this Tottenham team, because we know how they play. But there was a couple of times where it wasn't Ilanga West, sort of Chris Wood was plays over the top, or Hudson-Odoi, or Gibbs-White. And those two just mopped up. They just had the pace, the strength, everything. And you just thought, you know, fair play. And that moments like that were where you just thought, you know, they're a better side than us. And you can sometimes, you just accept that the lads have given it everything in that first half. If it's 2-1 at half-time and Maddison sent off, it's a different game. But those things didn't go Forest's way. And then the second goal again. I mean, I'm not that critical of the first goal that we conceded, because there's not much Morello can do there. But I wasn't pleased with the second goal, and particularly the third goal. Like I say, I love Ryan Yates, but he's got to do more to close James Maddison down. He gets in down the left-hand side. And
I think that's the yellow card, though.
Yeah. And I know he's on a yellow card, yeah? But put your foot on the... Just block the ball. He's 2 yards away from when he gets the crossing. And yes, he probably should have been taken off. I mentioned that he probably shouldn't have been on the pitch, but he's got to do better to close him down. And yeah, that sealed the deal. It's a great finish from Porro. And that finish, that few minutes that Tottenham stepped it up and scored 2 goals, showed why Forest are fourth and Forest are sixth. Sorry, Tottenham are fourth. I wish Forest were fourth. Tottenham are fourth and Forest are 16th.
Well, right. So let's just take a minute. Now we've talked about those goals, and let's hear from a Tottenham fan. So this is JP from our friends at the Cheese Room podcast.
Oh, I've got an opportunity to be really painful, but I will keep it sensible. I thought we were pretty bright in the first half, as we have been for most games, but a little bit sloppy in possession, particularly as we got probably, I don't know, 20, 25 yards out from goals. Started giving away the ball a lot, giving you a lot of opportunities to counter on us, as you did, and did quite well. Thought your goal was well worked. How Chris Wood has missed that opportunity against the right post, I will never know. But yeah, I thought the first half, whilst we were pretty comfortable in control, it always felt a little bit hectic, just given we'd do so much work to get the ball forward and then give it away really cheaply. But I thought the second half, I thought Ange got it spot on. And he's done that a few times recently where he's changed it up at halftime. Benny came on, gave us a lot more class in the middle, helped us going forward and keeping the ball, but being more kind of incisive with it. I thought Pierre hurried well, and we scored 2 really nice goals, to be fair. And to be fair as well, the first one was really well worked too. I wouldn't be feeling too bad about that. We've scored quite a few from that position, trying to get deflected goals from defenders. So yeah, it's clearly a tactic we've employed. I thought Brennan, whilst not delivering any end product this week, was really bright and direct. Still something he needs to work on, but I thought when he and Timo came off, it was really noticeable, and our attacking endeavour really slowed down. I think that's probably the one negative to come out of it, is that whilst we were really in control throughout the game, it still doesn't feel like it's quite clicking in the final third for us, and I'd like us to be a little bit more direct and a little bit more ruthless. I suppose you're going to want to talk about matters. Look, I was surprised VAR didn't want to intervene, but also quite glad that it decided not to as well. I think Yates might have found himself in a little bit of trouble if they had have, given that it appeared to me like he was asking for a card to be shown, and that in and of itself is a cardable offence. He could have found himself off as well, but in the end, I'm glad neither were given, and the game was allowed to play on. And Viola, I know it must be getting pretty nervy. You must be looking at kind of the upcoming Nuno Derby 2.0, Everton and Sheffield as, must win or must get points type games, and hopefully you do. It's great having Forrest back in the Prem, and where I think we're a better competition for it.
Thank you to JP from the Cheese Room. Unsurprisingly, Tottenham fan, not unhappy that Tottenham player does not get sent off. And interestingly, from what he said as well, if VAR had decided to send Maddison off, that wouldn't necessarily have led to a Yates red card, because VAR can't recommend a yellow.
As we saw with Willie Bolly.
Well, quite. Any other thoughts on what JP had said? I mean, from my point of view, I think he made a really good point, which is that you look at the subs that Tottenham were able to bring on, particularly the midfield substitutions, Højbjerg and Bentancur. I mean, I really like Bentancur, but they're not even the first choice. And they did actually change the game, because as you mentioned earlier, George, Yates was on a yellow. Danilo did get a yellow card later on. Saw a couple of Tottenham fans saying it should have been a red. I think that's one of those things where the still image makes it look worse than it was.
Yeah.
I think yellow was fair, because he didn't go in with any intent.
No. And I didn't see... I was thinking, what's happened there? Because I just thought he played the ball. So obviously the referee's in a better position to see that. So yeah, I think that's a yellow card all day.
Yeah. And yet the substitutions that we brought on. Yeah. So... you mentioned Gibbs White going off and Wood going off. And yeah, I mean, those substitutions make sense. The game was over. We saw Gibbs White put in an ice pack on his hamstring. So we need to wrap him up in cotton wool. The thing that I was annoyed about was bringing on Dominguez and playing him in the number 10 role for a bit. When we had Rayner on the bench, I'd have taken Yates off at halftime and put on Dominguez at that point, and then brought Rayner on straight away. So not for the first time, Nuno taking a little bit of criticism, I think, from some fans, this one included, for his substitutions. What do you think?
Yeah, firstly, the Tottenham substitutions were spot on. I mean, I was a bit baffled at halftime. Like I say, I thought Bissouma and Saar played reasonably well. But then when you saw the impact that Bentancur and Højbjerg had on the game, that Forrest just didn't have anything midfield, Gibbs White didn't get anywhere near the ball, you thought, yeah, fair enough. Well done, Ange, mate. Højbjerg actually nearly scored, didn't he? And Sells made a cracking save, diving up towards the top right corner. Top right corner. I was right behind that, and it was deflected as well. And on TV, you don't really get the best sense of the pace of it, but that was a decent strike. And Sells did really well to keep that out. I think he keeps getting better. And yeah, I'd be happy if he's our number one going forward, if we try and progress up the league, if we stay up this season. Substitutions. Yates should have came off earlier. I mean, what was it, 81 that he went off in the end? I don't know how he managed to survive that long. And what I keep wondering is, especially in a game like this, where there's a clear ploy that the game is gone, why is Rodrigo Ribeiro not getting a run out, right? Divock Origi, we've already confirmed, basically, that he's not coming back. With Sam Ribeiro, to see what he's going to do. Oh, was he on the bench? He was on the bench yesterday, wasn't he?
Yep.
Yeah. Why is he not bringing them on? I don't know what he's done. He's Portuguese, which I thought would be something that Nuno would sort of be attracted to as well. Why is he not on the pitch? The Rayner thing, I sort of agree with, that he's a direct replacement for Morgan. Why not give him a chance? Similar to the Ribeiro, where we're just trying to see, is he going to be a decent player in the running? And I mean, we're probably not going to be able to sign Rayner next season, but it'd be nice to see him and see what he can provide. When he came on, I wasn't hugely impressed by him. I thought he played the safe option a bit much, and he looked good against Palace. But I think he struggled without having Gibbs White behind him, who was always coming to get the ball off him. We saw that with the goal we scored against Palace when it was Rayner into Gibbs White into the box. Rayner didn't really have that pass on as much when he came on because he was next to Yates, Danilo, and then later on Sangare, Dominguez. So I think he struggled a little bit. But yeah, he probably should have been on a bit earlier. But no real complaints with the manager. I mean, I'm still not his hugest fan, but yeah, he's improved us. And I'm not going to lay a huge sort of discredit towards him, apart from the fact, please get Rodrigo Ribeiro on the pitch, because what more has he got to do? But yeah, as the game went on, there was a few half-hearted attacks from Origi, but there was nothing, you know. Spurs gave us a bit of pity possession for the last 10 minutes. And it was almost like, yeah, there you go. Get your stats up to 30, 40% as opposed to 20. And yeah, it was a sort of, after the third goal went in, there was an acceptance from everybody in the ground that this is how it's going to stay.
I'll just add in there as well as a footnote that with the substitutions, there's a game of pass the armband, because Ryan Yates came off. He was looking around going, who should I give it to? He gave it to Nico Williams. And then when Nico Williams went off a few minutes later, he was like, I don't know who to give it to. And actually, I have no idea who he did give it to.
Elanga. I think it was the first player he saw. Elanga was like, yeah, okay, fair play. But yeah, like there wasn't that many candidates in fairness. So, I mean, I thought maybe Yamba Abadeli or Murillo, but there wasn't that many.
I thought it might have gone to Sells, actually, as the most experienced player.
Yeah.
Or even Origi, but obviously Origi's not even our player. So.
And I don't think that'll have gone down well with the fan base either. No, Origi or
okay. Just to finish off for today, just to say that Nuno did say the first half was good. We were playing the game that we wanted to play with good moments on the ball. We created chances and we scored. And about Chris Wood, he's a good finisher. The ball goes on the post. It should be inside. That moment can change a game. He also said about Maddison, I saw it. What I see is clear. What they saw is clearly not the same as what we saw. It is a red card. I wouldn't speak if I wasn't 100% sure. And it's difficult to disagree with that, isn't it, George?
Yeah, it's interesting now that at the start, Nuno was being a bit more diplomatic about the refereeing decisions. Remember the Liverpool game where everyone was absolutely raging and he was like, you know, I'm not commenting about it. I'm not speaking about it. But then we saw the Brighton game, he came out, and then this game, and he's almost lost his rag. He's lost his filter and he's just like us. And I think that's something that us as fans, we're quite happy to see that in the manager. You know, I think the fining people now, they all talk about, I don't want to say this because I get fined. I think the Premier League have almost stopped that because managers are almost not afraid of it anymore, and they'll say what they want, but I think he's not said anything there that's merit of a fine. It's like on the brink, but it's nice to see a manager, and particularly Nuno, who we've taken a while to warm to, actually take that stance and say what we all want him to say and not leaving it to Mark Clattenburg, because now Nuno is doing that, what's Mark Clattenburg's job?
Well, discuss. And with that bit of food for thought, we'll end it there. So thank you very much to you, George. And we'll be hearing from you later on this week with our Friday Five News Roundup. And thank you also to Chom and to JP for their contributions to today's podcast. The next game's against Wolves. I say before that, we'll have the Friday Five News Roundup on Friday, funnily enough. And then we'll have a match report for you at the weekend. So thank you for joining us, listener. Thank you to Sports Social for hosting us. And we hope you can join us again later this week.
Podcast Network.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right, ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.